Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You're going to be glad you did because Grace Marie Turner is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She is the president of the Galen Institute, an organization that focuses on healthcare public policy 100%. Nobody on the planet, ladies and gentlemen, knows more about healthcare public policy and the things that we should be doing and the best ways to be shaping public policy so that it makes the most sense for everyone, for the patient and for the provider. And I'm glad to say she's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Grace Marie Turner, welcome back to the show.
Jim, you're too kind, but thank you. Pleasure to be back.
It's the truth. Let me tell you something, folks. Kings and presidents sit up and listen when Grace Marie Turner speaks. And queens, too. And queens listen, too. Grace Marie, we're in the wacky season with the presidential nomination race, and we're coming down to, we're only probably a couple of months or so away from the first primaries, which incredibly this year, which is pretty unusual, some of them are it looks like are going to be coming off in the 1st of January. I think maybe there was something, some mention of maybe one of them was actually going to get into the last week of December. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it's a wacky time. We got more than a handful of both parties running for the election, running for the nomination of their party, the Democrat and the Republican Party. What do you think? What are you hearing when you hear them talking about their plans? All of them have a healthcare opinion, an attitude about where we should go with healthcare. What are you seeing from it? Let's just at least talk about the front runners.
You know, I see two trends, and even though everybody says healthcare is going to be the biggest domestic policy issue in the presidential elections, in fact, I actually heard Senator McCain yesterday for an hour talking about healthcare during a forum here in Washington, and he agreed. He said this is a huge issue, but it's not as much of an issue in the primaries, primarily because most of the Democratic candidates are more or less on the same page, and so are the Republican candidates, mm-hmm. but they're very different pages. So the Republicans don't have a lot to argue with about it with each other, and the same thing is true with the Democrats. The Democrats have, but they have very different visions. So this is going to be a general election campaign and issue, and I think unlike 1992, when healthcare was a big issue, this time we're going to have a much clearer sense of what the candidates are actually proposing. Mm-hmm. When President Clinton was elected in 1992, he said, "We're going to give everybody universal coverage and we're going to fix our healthcare system." Everybody said, "Ray, that's wonderful. Let's do that." And then everybody saw 1,342 pages of detail, and they said, that's not what we want, and rejected, of course, overwhelmingly. But this time, the candidates are coming out with their proposals in advance, so we know what they're going to do.
Well, and we've had 15-plus years of experience with talking about this and seeing how, you know, I think 15, 18 years ago, most Americans were still kind of happy with their corporate packages that they had, you know, in their businesses. You know, there were a lot fewer small businesses out there. A lot fewer people worrying about how small business owners were doing in providing health care for themselves and for their employees. And so everybody didn't really understand what universal health care means, what single payer means. But I think pretty much anybody who's been paying attention today, They can join the debate and make good decisions. Don't you think so?
I do, but I think you may also the point you make are really right about this. The climate will be very different this time. People are going to be more sophisticated and more educated. Many more. When we talked about universal coverage last time, that meant covering the uninsured.
Yeah.
And this time, it means people who may have health insurance but are worried they're going to lose it, which is a great proportion of people with job-based coverage, are feeling like, well, this could be me. I might be one paycheck away from being uninsured. And they see the average cost of a job-based policy for a family now upwards of $12,000.
Right.
And they're thinking, how on earth could I pay for that? Of course, individually purchased health insurance, surprisingly, is much less expensive. But, they look at those price tags.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I was recently in Europe, and people just think this Americans are unbelievably barbaric.
Yeah.
They believe we have 47 million people without health insurance, a permanent underclass of poor people with no access to our health care system.
But there also are problems in those countries because they're starting to understand they can't sustain the utopia that they've tried to create.
No question.
Yeah. Stand by. Quick break, 20 till. Grace Marie Turner and I will be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Don't ask me why. Love never seems to last you. I can feel a new expression on my face.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Grace Marie Turner. She's with the Galen Institute. We're talking about healthcare public policy. What's it going to look like? You know, Grace Marie, before we go any further, give us your website, please.
Please visit us at Galen, GALEN.org. And actually, we have a brand new, newly designed website going live today. So love for people to come see us.
I'm glad to be able to tell my audience about that. It's an outstanding organization, folks, run by an outstanding individual, someone I've come to know and admire over the years. Grace Marie, what do you think is the major difference between the front runners plans for health care in the future between the two parties?
Well, you know, we were just talking about the European systems before the break, and I think it's, do we want to really have a truly unique American system that is going to be able to meet the demands and the challenges of the 21st century, or are we going to go the way of Europe and have an individual mandate so that everybody has to buy health insurance, which, by the way, quickly defaults into an employer mandate, employers required to provide coverage, and rationing, and government making decisions about what your coverage is going to be and not you, and government deciding, by the way, what the prices are going to be, that physicians are going to be paid. And physicians are not going to be paid at Medicare rates or private commercial rates. They're going to be paid at Medicaid rates, which is just abysmally poor. We're going to decimate the infrastructure and the quality of our health care system.
And really create disincentives for people to become medical professionals.
Already. I mean, I think if anyone knows a physician, I don't know a single physician who's not completely frustrated with their practice because they are overwhelmed with the paperwork and the pressures and mostly the demands to get so many patients through their offices in a day that they don't have time to practice the kind of individual personalized medicine that they want to practice.
Is it pretty much a foregone conclusion in your mind that Hillary Clinton is going to be the nominee for the Democrats?
You know, I just don't know. I think that we said 4 years ago that it was a foregone conclusion that Dr.
Right.
Dean was going to be elected, so I just don't know that debate the other night.
But,
seemed to stir
but
things
barring
up.
A Hillary scream, she's probably going to be the one, and so we all kind of know where she stands. I mean, she's going to be focused on some kind of a universal type health care plan, isn't she?
A single
payer, government run. You're a ward of the state, kind of a health care plan.
Well, she has issued a 10-page detailed plan of her proposal, and she says if you have private insurance, you're going to be able to keep it. if you were not going to have any new government bureaucracy. She's got all the words down, but I'm telling you, I've looked at this plan, and it's Hillary Care too. When you look at what's going to happen, everybody does have to buy health insurance, and we have to buy health insurance that's described and prescribed by government, a very rich package. Costs are going to go up.
You know, the 47 million people you mentioned earlier who are uninsured in the United States, isn't it instructive and important that we break that 47 million down, number one, to realize that if in America, if you need health care, you can get health care.
Well, yes.
There are no people who are not getting what they need in terms of health care who just because they can't afford it. There are places, there are programs, there are hospitals, there are doctors, there are government programs that will take care of you if you need it. But then you've got
community clinics. Every hospital is required to treat people who show up needing care. Many private clinics, many charitable clinics. But there are people who may need health care and are not going to the doctor and may wind up
because
with
they don't know that. Maybe they don't know that, or they've got too much pride or something.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they're afraid or ignorant or too much pride. But there are also plenty of those 47 million people who are uninsured, Grace Marie, who have chosen to be uninsured.
They've said that, you know, it's just not a good value. Almost half of them are transitioning from job to job. They're not the poor.
That's never, and see, 80% that's never
of them
mentioned.
Are working people or their dependents. They are people who lost their health insurance when they changed or lost one job, and they're going to pick it up when they get the next one. Another is people who are offered health insurance who aren't taking it up. Many of them are illegal aliens who are uninsured, who are counted in those numbers.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Trying to solve all of those problems with an individual mandate is just going to be incredibly difficult. And then what's the enforcement provision? What are you going to do to people who don't buy health insurance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to have health care police. You know, Grace Marie, the thing that's disingenuous to me about what some of the people who are pushing this kind of a policy, the thing that's disingenuous about them is that when they had an opportunity to provide with one vote to help those 47 million and many, many other people, millions of others, have better health care, when they could have voted for the Small Business Health Plans bill that Senator Mike Enzi proposed. They voted it down. Kennedy and Clinton and on, they voted it down. They wouldn't let it go through. If we had had them, if 2 years ago we would have had the Small Business Health Plans bill had passed, a whole lot of those 47 million people right now would be covered, and small business owners would be a lot better off.
Absolutely right. And there are so many policies. You know, when you're talking about encouraging the free market, you don't need to do a lot. We need to provide additional subsidies for people who are at the lower end of the income scale, those working Americans who can't afford coverage, to get care and to get insurance. And every single one of the Republican presidential candidates has a proposal of a way to do that. Virtually all of them have said, why should not people be able to buy health insurance if they live in a state like New Jersey or New York
where
health insurance is so expensive?
I have to stop you. Stand by. Right back, folks. Stay with me. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find all the things that we do here on the show, including the show, including archives and podcasting of our show, all the different interviews. You can get that there, articles. You can subscribe to my newsletter. You can check out our blog, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and also our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. Grace Marie Turner is our guest, our good friend. We're talking about healthcare public policy. Grace Marie, there's so many things we need to talk about. I want to get back into what we were just talking about, but before we do that, would you please You had an outstanding article in the Wall Street Journal recently on the S-CHIP issue, the children's health care issue. That's become a political football. Tell us the truth about it.
Well, you know, and it has been because we're trying to have the larger debate over what we're going to do about the uninsured in our country and within this little program. And it just can't handle it. There's no question we're going to renew the program to provide health insurance for children and families whose parents make too little to afford Medicaid, to be on Medicaid, and not enough to have bigger, higher-paying jobs that are guaranteed to provide health insurance. Mm-hmm. We're trying to help these kids, and what's happening is that the Democratic leadership of the Congress is trying to make this as a foothold for universal coverage for children, mm-hmm. so that virtually every state is able to put almost every child in the state
and many adults,
on
health, as it turns out,
public dole.
And many adults, as it turns out.
And many adults, 10% of them are adults.
Think
in
about
some
that, folks. This
like
is a child. How can that happen, Grace Marie? How can we have a program for children, but yet adults get on it?
They get waivers, and they just said, you know, we don't have enough kids that aren't covered. Oh, that's crazy. In Arizona, they have more adults than children on their program, and yet they have the highest proportion of uninsured children. It is makes no sense.
Folks, here's the thing. So, folks, if you like the way S-CHIP is working in Arizona, you're going to love universal government-run health care.
And the president keeps saying, I'm going to veto this until you give me a bill that makes sure that the poor children that need it are covered first. Two-thirds of uninsured children already are eligible for either Medicaid or the state children's health insurance program.
Without the S-CHIP program.
Without new expansions. And he's just saying, make sure they get covered first. New York wants to cover children in families that make $83,000 a year.
Hmm.
New Jersey already covers kids in families that make $72,000.
Folks, at the risk of sounding, I know this is going to probably irritate some people for me to use this term, but that's creeping socialism.
Absolutely, and the Republicans are saying, but you know, what they're in the position of doing is saying no, because we need to have the bigger debate. How do we cover families, not just children? We know that if families are covered, the health insurance is much more likely to be more stable and get people the care they need. But just covering children, and actually, the more you go up the income scale, the more they're dropping private coverage they already have in order to take taxpayer-supported coverage.
Right,
that just doesn't make any sense.
And see, that was the problem they had in Massachusetts, and that's one of the things that Romney's plan tried to do away with, was to keep people who could afford it from being on the public dole. Grace Marie, which one of the Republicans' plans do you like the best?
You know, a lot of them are very similar, and they're similar in one key way. They want to move control over health insurance back to the individual level, to give people the chance to group together with new kinds of groups, to be able to have the tax break that supports health insurance
in this country. Grace Marie,
it fits
the ownership, entrepreneurial direction this country is moving in.
Absolutely. And it's a mobile society. We can't tie health insurance to the workplace when people are changing jobs.
That's the 21st century element of this.
Absolutely. To let people buy and own their health insurance like they buy and own their automobile insurance, their homeowners insurance, their life insurance, and to let people have that insurance be portable from job to job, take the burden off of the back of business. Business is going to gross up their pay if they've got health insurance in many cases. Let people group in new ways. Many businesses are going to continue to provide health insurance.
We've got to disconnect ourselves from the 20th century constructs
doesn't
of the corporation
anymore
as the patriarchal organization that provides us what we need. That's not the 21st century in America.
It's not, and it's not because we're in a global economy. People at the lower end of the income scale do need extra help in purchasing health insurance, and all of the Republican candidates are providing new kinds of subsidies for that, but not having the government take it over.
Grace Marie, well said. It's always a pleasure. You always give us something to think about. Thanks for being here. Good job today, and we'll see
pleasure,
you next time.
Pleasure, Jim.
Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen, that's Galen.org, at the Galen Institute. Check it out when you get a chance. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.